The Tom Woods Show, episode 825, bonus episode.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here with another bonus episode. I release these periodically, very periodically these days, on the weekends when I'm covering a topic that's a bit off the beaten path for the show. And today's topic is sort of like that, but it's so great. It's so great. Even if you're going to say, Woods, this isn't really my bag, I guarantee you, you're going to want to listen to Ben Settle, who is the publisher of the Email Players newsletter, which I receive and look forward to every month. He is a great email marketer, but he just generally has a good strategic sense for business success, frankly. He's coached so many people half the time without knowing it. Because they watch what he does, they learn from him in his newsletter, they implement what he recommends, and the results are always pretty darn good. They certainly have been for me. Plus, he's a fun guy to talk to. He's really smart. He's interesting. He is iconoclastic. He's everything I want in a guest. And so I'm very glad to be able to welcome him back. Now, as it turns out, by a bizarre coincidence, the two times that I've had Ben on, I've had a hot mic for some reason. I mean, I do know how to run a podcast, as it turns out, but I'm using a new mic. It has a gain knob on it, and I guess when I moved the mic, I accidentally turned the knob, so I'm clipping a little bit for you audiophiles out there. I'm aware of it. I'm sorry about that, but the content is just so darn good. All right, here's my conversation with Ben Settle. Ben, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. I've been looking forward to this ever since you brought it up, and I'm excited. I mean, it's been way too long. Way too long.
Look, I wouldn't mind implicitly having a second podcast with you coming on regularly on Saturdays. That'd be no problem with me because, you know, I told people a week ago that you were coming back on. I said, look, let me be honest with you. I basically just want to get Ben on the phone for half an hour. So I'm going to make it into an episode. You guys can listen in. But that's basically what I'm doing. I'm interested in this guy because I watch you every day. I watch you at work. You're in my email inbox. I open every single one of those things. I never, ever say, oh, it's just an email from Ben Settle. I'll just put it in the trash. Never, ever wouldn't. That would be sacrilege. I read them because I like them, but I also like to see, okay, what's he doing here? Where's this going? How's he going to turn this into a pitch? And you've done all kinds of different things that I find interesting. You did a book launch recently.
Yeah.
And let's start talking about that. Your book is called, which I have, by the way, because I'm a subscriber of Email Players, and you sent it to all of us as a gift.
Yeah.
And by the way, I love those Gene Schwartz copywriting CDs. It's just amazing, the gifts I get from you. But anyway, the book is called Persuasion Secrets of the World's Most Charismatic and Influential Villains. Talk about how you pushed that book, because it was a model for me. I'm going to do the same thing later this year.
Well, I do this with everything I launch. It's the exact same thing. I had more fun with that one probably than anything because that whole villain thing was running through each email, right? It was so fun. I want to write a sequel just so I can do another launch of that theme. But it's real simple. See, I'm a big fan of sending lots of emails, as you know. I mean, I like to send lots of emails because, A, if you do them right, people don't mind getting them and, in fact, welcome them. Because they're getting so much nonsense in their inbox every day. It's like they get something they want to read. It's like a big deal. And second of all, it keeps you in front and the forefront of their mind. And if you do it in a way that where people like to read and they like to buy from, you can't lose. So what I have like a 4-day process when I'm launching things. And it could be longer than that, but my attention span. And I usually just pick a weekend, strategically try to pick a weekend. And I mail several times over the weekend. And there's a common theme to all the emails, and they're all building up to the deadline on Sunday night. And it just works. It's worked for like everything I've ever tried to sell.
Did you actually do a count of how many emails you sent promoting that book?
Yeah, you know, I did. I think it was around 16 or something like 17 maybe over 4 days.
Over 4 days. How many did I get on the last day?
Probably 7 or 8. So that's where most of them come.
All right. Now, I just don't know if I could get away with that. And sorry, I sound like one of your newbies who say, I can't email so much, but I do email pretty much every day. The only reason I wouldn't email every day is I do have five kids and sometimes something comes up and I just can't do it. But if I miss one, then when I say every day, I generally mean weekdays. But if I'm pushing a product or something, it includes the weekend.
Yeah.
And if I miss a weekday, it'll definitely include the weekend. So it's not like I'm shy about emailing, but I'm shy about emailing that much for something. And I know what you're going to say, and yet I still need you to tell it to me. Why is it okay? And this is not just for me. It's for everybody listening. If you are interested in making a living online, at one time or another, you are going to have to master email, period. So this should be of interest to you. Why is it okay? I need to know why that's okay.
Okay, so
because I will get unsubscribes, and I know you'll say, yeah, so the unsubscribes weren't fully committed to you, but maybe they were 70% committed, and I could have kept them if I had emailed them only five times. That's my worry.
Well, you know, you're a political guy, right? So it's no different than that. You got to appeal to the people who are buyers and not the people who aren't. So you can worry about all that. So I just don't I don't care about unsubscribe. I welcome them. So here's my analogy. And I plucked this right out of the book of Revelation. I'm not trying to push religion. It's just a cool part of – it just makes a cool point. So there's this part in the book of Revelation where God's talking to seven churches. Jesus is talking to seven churches, and he's mad at five of them, and he's happy with two of them. One of the ones he's mad at, he's like, yeah, you guys do some good stuff here and there, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to literally vomit you out. Like that's in the Greek. It's like vomit you out of my mouth. That is exactly how I treat my email list, in the sense that I want them hot or cold. I don't want them in the middle. And I want them to either make a decision, yes, I'm going to buy, or I'm going to buy eventually. I mean, I'm sold on this. Maybe I can't afford it right now, whatever. Or I want them to say, this is too much. I'm not that into this topic. I hate this Ben Settle guy. I'm getting out. I'm out. And they will just leave peacefully on their own. And it forces lukewarm people to make a decision. I'm all about giving people options for thinking differently. So I want to give them options to either buy or get out. And that leads to a very, very – a smaller list, but a very responsive list. And by one of the ways I do that is by mailing daily, sometimes twice a day. And oftentimes when I'm doing – whenever I do like a book launch or something, or even like an affiliate campaign, I'm going to mail a lot. And I'm going to do a little calling. And I'm going to make a lot of sales. And I'm going to get rid of a lot of the dead weight. And it's just I cannot see any downside to it. I don't even really get any spam complaints when I do this because I'm already mailing every day. They know who I am. And I think that if you just try it, sometimes you just have to push things as far as you can just to see how far you can get. You know, you got to keep climbing that tree, keep going up another branch until you fall. And that's how I would describe this. Just do it once and just see what happens. Worst that case, you get some unsubscribes. So what? Best case, you're making way more money.
All right. Okay. That's what I needed to hear. And by the way, every once in a blue moon, when I look at my AWeber statistics, I will have like one complaint. And I always want to know. AWeber won't let you find out who that SOB was. I want to know who it is, because on my landing page over at pathstoincome.com, I have an IM list that I'm building. And when you click on yes, I want this thing, a pop-up comes up for you to fill in your information, and it makes perfectly clear you're going to be hearing from me regularly, and that's the cost of admission, but you're going to like hearing from me. You're not going to want to unsubscribe, but you can if you want. As plain as day, what kind of an imbecile is complaining after that when they consented to this from the start? he asks rhetorically.
Well, hold on a second. You're only getting one complaint. That's not bad.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, for thousands of emails sent. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But I still am curious, who is this guy?
Right? Oh, who it is? It's somebody who personally doesn't like you, probably, and they're just trying – that's their way of like getting you. Because they know that pushing spam is, especially in the IM world, people know this. Pushing the spam button, too many people do it. You could have your AWeber or any of those companies will just shut you down. I mean, you're not even close to, if you're just getting one every now and then, they love you. But, there are people who get like 50 spam complaints in a day. It can screw up your entire business. But that'd be my guess. It's just people trying to get back at you, or they're just so lazy it's easier for them to push the spam button than the unsubscribe link,
All right. I want to ask you about building an email list, because, of course, I'm a subscriber to email players. I can't imagine not being a subscriber. I love it. I love reading your emails every day. People should be getting on your list anyway, because even if they don't subscribe to email players, which they should, they'll get an email from you and they'll watch you in action. And by watching you, they could pick up a lot of tips. So before we go any further, how do people, because people should press the stop button and go do this and then come back if they can't listen and do it at the same time. How do they get on that list? Is it bensettle.com?
Yeah, bensettle.com. And you mentioned email players. So if you go to bensettle.com and you opt in, and I like your site, it's plain as I make it, so like it says, you have to check a box to opt in.
I love that. You even have to check a box.
And you have to acknowledge that I am going to get daily promotional emails from Ben. So I don't get, you know, again, like you, I don't get that many spam complaints because only a complete illiterate moron would do that. But if you go to bensettle.com and you opt in, I'll send you the first issue of Email Players as a it's a print newsletter, but I'll send you the PDF of the first issue, and then you can see what Tom is talking about for yourself as far as that goes. If you don't give me your email address, you can still click through to the site. I mean, I've got all kinds of stuff on there now, so it's all free.
All right, I want to ask you about building an email list, because look, there's a very, very simple business model out there for people who want to make a go of this. I mean, you have a great lifestyle and you talk about it a lot on your list. And I mean, you have that 10-minute workday program. I mean, you have a great lifestyle. Most anybody in his right mind would kill to have your lifestyle. And there's a very simple business model that goes with this. You have some kind of an offer. Okay, that's the hard part. I'll grant you. But even that, yeah, it can be an affiliate offer. You don't even have to create the offer. You just find an offer that has a decent commission and you build a list of people who are interested in that niche, and then you relentlessly write to them via email. That is the entire. You can go farther than that. You can have a website. You can go with social media if that's your bag, but you don't have to. It's these three ingredients. That's all you have to do. But that's, for some people, easier said than done. To build a list, it's true, you can give away, as you do, you give the PDF to the first issue.
Yeah.
I've given away, I have a really great ebook, by the way, that I wrote myself. There's no PLR involved. I wrote the whole thing. I love it. It's great. It's really helpful. I give that thing away. But how do you get people to that landing page in the first place? Once they're there, it converts really well. How do I get them there?
Well, there's a lot of ways. Probably my, you know, and it's hard for me to track some of this stuff, so I'm just going by what my gut is telling me. One of my best sources of leads is doing podcast interviews like this and just talking to other people's audiences and showing them that I'm a real person and they can take it or leave it, you know. And usually people come from podcasts, have listened to you for a half hour or an hour about something that they're interested in, and they go opt in. That's a very, 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 very valuable lead. That's someone who's sold on you before they even got there. So that's one way. Another way is paid advertising. Like I one of my friends, his name is Jim Yagi. And he's an AdWords, you know, genius. And so I pay him to do my AdWords for me. I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't want to mess with it. So I outsource it to him. There's Facebook ads, which is another. I have a friend named Shane Hunter. He's like, I don't know if he does it for hire or not anymore, but he's helped me a lot with that. You can get a ton of good leads through Facebook ads. Just getting out there and writing every day. Like, I put my daily emails on my blog, which then becomes like Google bait because Google likes lots of good, deep content. So there's so many ways to do it. Probably the simplest way for someone just starting out is to write an email every day and then take that email and put it on the article directories. You might have to add a little meat to it, of course. It has to be a little more how-to than like an email, but just add a little bit of meat to it. Take that article and read it into a video camera and put that on YouTube. Take the audio from that and put it on iTunes. When you've done enough of these, string your articles together into a book that you can put on Kindle, and these will start trickling leads. You're not going to get tons of leads doing this, but you'll get good quality leads doing this, and that can get you started. But most importantly, have a really deep knowledge of whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're selling, or whatever it is you're teaching, and start getting yourself booked on podcasts in your industry, and you will find that you get really high quality leads that way. Sometimes you'll even get on big shows that have like 500,000 downloads, and suddenly you're getting overrun. You know, so it happens every day, but I mean, it does happen. And it's just consistency, just doing the stuff every day, getting out there every day and doing it and having a mission. You talk about my villains book. I mean, that's a big part of that book, is having a mission. Well, if a mission is building your business, you should get up every day and work on that the first hour of every day. And that could mean driving leads to your website. But, you know, people just got to take it seriously. It's not, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. It takes time. It takes work, but it's worth it. I mean, because 5 years from now, time is passing anyway. 5 years from now, if you don't do it now, you're going to be wishing you'd done it. And, you know, don't be that. Don't be like the person, Tom, I'll tell you, don't be like the person who says, I need to get my master's degree, right? For example, And then 5 years later, they're like, yeah, I wish I'd gotten my master's degree. Well, time had passed. They could have already had it. Of course, this stuff is far more valuable than any master's degree. But that's the thing. Time is passing. What are you going to do with that time? You're going to squander it, or are you going to start investing it? Because if you don't invest it, you're just wasting it. It's like putting money under a mattress, and then it gets stolen by a thief. You know, you lost it forever. You invest it, it grows and compounds on itself.
Well, I also think people get into this routine where they're comfortable, they go to work 9 to 5 every day, and it seems like people who do what you do, where they just take the bull by the horns, they create their own product that they mail out every month, or they build an email list, or they write a book, or they start a podcast. These are things other people do. They're not things I do. But as soon as you get out of that mentality and you say, wait a minute, I'm a person just like they are, and I could be a person who does these things. That seems to be the biggest hurdle, and I've gotten a lot of feedback on my list. People say, you know, wait, man, you hit the nail on the head. I thought, of course I don't write a book, or of course I don't do this, or of course I don't do that. And I think we get out of school thinking that the proper posture for somebody looking to earn money is to sit by the telephone waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah, that's like the worst thing you can do. You know, that's like a guy. You know what that's like, Tom? That's like a single guy waiting by the phone for a girl to call him.
That's it. Because not only is that not going to work, it's really pathetic too.
Very few girls are going to call a guy. And if they do, I'm not going to say it's never a quality girl, but girls want to be chased. Well, so do your customers. They want you to go out and woo them and get them. They want to be seduced into your list. They want to buy from you as long as you have a good offer. But they're not going to do it for you unless you just happen to have like a, you know, people who have like retail shops set up on Main Avenue. Yeah, they have people come to them. But in this business, you have to go out and get people. And it's not hard. It's not hard. It's simple. But, you know, it does take time. It does take work.
What do you think of these people who have income reports on their websites? You're familiar with this, where they'll tell you, this is how much I earned as in my podcast and in my affiliate marketing business and whatever. I can think of two people off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Three people in affiliate. I can think of three people who do that. What do you think of that practice?
Well,
and they say, this is so I can be open and above board. I happen to think that the real reason is they want to brag to their friends from high school, this is how much I earn.
You know, it's a weird thing. There are some markets where, and I don't go after those customers who would be turned on by something like that, but I know people like in the affiliate marketing world where they almost have to do that because the gene pool of leads in that sort of thing in the biz op world is so low class jackass in general that's what they need. I just got an email just a couple weeks ago. I got this email from this guy. His name is Lennox. I made an email about him.
Oh, I've read that. Yes.
he's like, you claim to make all this money. I never claim to make anything. Like you say you make loads of money. When have I ever said that? I wouldn't even use that like idiotic terminology.
Right.
What I do, because first of all, I think, and you being a libertarian probably see this all the time, just in your business. By telling people, like publicly counting your money, you are going to attract like things you don't want in your life and people you don't want in your life, including bureaucrats and attorney generals and all that.
Yeah.
Lawyers. They're going to like, oh, this guy has money. So what I do is I talk about the numbers for people I've helped. And of course, if somebody's selling something that has nothing to do with the make money world, you know, you don't have to worry about this, but I just talk about the numbers of people that I've like you and I had a talk before you were recorded, we were talking and you mentioned my friend, Michael Cheney. Right. Who emails 4 times a day.
Sometimes more. Yeah.
Yeah. He's super aggressive. OK, so he's one of the Internet pioneers of Internet marketing. He's been doing this since 1995. He found email players. And now he just does this like he just took it by the horn and he goes crazy with this stuff.
He's the best. I actually think he's the best out there. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great at it. But he has to kind of play to that crowd. Right. Because that's who he's going after. I don't really have the patience for it. But so for example, if I'm going to sell email players and I've done this, I'll go to a guy like Michael Cheney and he'll give me a testimonial about all the money he made. And I'll talk about his numbers that he used, but I'm not going to talk about my numbers because it really attracts the wrong people. But yeah, again, I'm not saying people shouldn't do it. I think it's a little suspect when people put shots of their bank account. You could Photoshop that.
Right.
You know, I think at the end of the day, the best way to sell something is demonstration. Say, okay, Here's do this and see what happens. So it's kind of like when I give that free email players issue away. I want people to use it. I want them to make thousands of dollars with it so that it demonstrates. I don't have to say anything after that. And I think that's the best way to sell anything, demonstration.
I think it was, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I did an email campaign for something where I was referring to some of the people in internet marketing as, I think I was calling them swamp dwellers, because I was saying, I was calling them knuckle draggers. I was saying, look, these people have an IQ of 60 and they are cleaning up online because they're winning all these affiliate contests, five-figure cash prizes. Look, if these knuckle-dragging swamp dwellers can earn that money, then why the heck can't you, was what I was telling you. Because I would like to see my people winning those prizes rather than some of this scum of the earth. And I thought, I wouldn't have spoken that way, that bluntly, if it hadn't been for the example of Ben, who, I'm the good cop compared to you. So yeah, that whole world there, you got to really be careful of who you're JVing with and who you're, because some of these are just crummy, lousy, rotten, stinky, disgusting people. So that makes the decent people stand out all the more clearly. And also those people, you were right. You told me in an email that affiliate marketers don't know how to use email. I'm on an email list. I better not say it. He's reasonably well known. And all he sends is pitches. And his subject line is, product X is live. Get it today with my bonuses. Who in his right mind opens that email? He has an email list of over 20,000. Now, my IM list right now is not even 1/4 of that. And yet I know you don't worry about open rates, but I know what his open rate is, and mine is 4 times bigger. So I have the same opens. I have the same eyes looking at my list as looking at his, because my emails are worth reading, and because they have, in fact, I sent one out today and the subject line was something about, I had the filthiest job at Harvard, because that's where I went for an undergrad. Nice. And you open it up. And it was that I actually literally cleaned the toilets when I was a freshman. And then what I was segueing into is, I'm trying to promote this platform where people can very easily build very, very nice, serviceable websites for local businesses, most of whom don't have a website. And I'm saying, now look, as a good thing, the internet was in its infancy in those days, because otherwise I'd look back and say, what a waste of my time. Was I earning $7 an hour cleaning toilets? I could have been building websites and earning hundreds of dollars an hour. And that was the segue. And so, I got that from you. And so people would want to read that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great example. You know, when you talked about the joint ventures, I do want to say something, because you tell me your audience, a lot of haven't really started yet. And, you know, this is a big deal, because joint ventures is another way to build a list really quick and make sales really quick. But many years ago, I had a talk with Terry Dean, who's like another one of the founding fathers of internet marketing. He was like one of the pioneers that paved the way for the rest of us. Just a brilliant guy. And he was talking about how, here's how he judges if he's going to do business with someone. Would I leave my house keys with that person for a month? And if the answer is no, he's not going to joint venture with them. If the answer is yes, he has no problem doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, boy, that narrows it right down, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. I mean, and you just know by a gut dealing with somebody, you know. And it just, oh man, this is why I don't do very many joint ventures, not just because of that, but just because I'd rather sell my own stuff. But it's just a good gauge. Like don't get in business with people you wouldn't leave your house keys with.
Tell me how you respond to people who say it's important to build your brand.
Well, I think it is, but I think the best way to build your brand is to make sales, because like Walt Disney found out, his whole thing was just be so good at what you do, people can't help but tell everybody about you. You know, people, you know, it's funny. I got in this debate with a very well-known copywriter. I won't name him, but just very well-known copywriter, a guy you know. And I believe you chimed in on this debate, if I remember correctly, when I said the whole point of a website is to build a list. That's it. It's like there's really no reason to have a website in direct response if you're not trying to build a list. Otherwise, I mean, that's the whole point of direct response, build a list and mail to it. Well, people were saying, well, what about my website's there to build my brand? I'm thinking, no, it's not. The brand comes after you get them on your list and you've talked to them and you've sold them something. Nobody cares about your brand. You know, your brand is created by people, by buyers, not by, like, I don't know, perception or whatever. Tom Woods has a brand because you've been out there selling stuff, selling people on you, on the radio and through your books and all that. There is no Tom Woods brand if you hadn't actually done the work first. So that's how you build a brand, is by selling your product and giving them a good experience.
Yeah, exactly. It was, Ken McCarthy who's got that famous line about this? The best way to build your brand is just sell a bunch of products with your logo on them.
You know, I am such a fan of Ken McCarthy, and I'm ashamed to say I've never heard that. But
oh,
yes.
All right. Well, it could have been him. And I know he said something like that in the CDs that you sent out. And by the way, because I've been getting your newsletter, I didn't know any of these names. I didn't know, and I know that there are obvious names to me now, but yeah. I didn't know Dan Kennedy. I didn't know Ken McCarthy. I didn't know any of these people. And now I do know them, thanks to you. And that's great. I mean, I'm able to learn from some of the best people. And I want to ask you about, you had a great success last year that you then shut down.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to talk about that because that was very interesting. You were starting a membership site, which I joined semi right away. I think I may have joined on the 8th email. So in other words, fairly early on in the process. And then You were so, it wasn't that, oh, this was a flop, so I'm shutting it down. It was, I'm so overwhelmed with people that I'm shutting it down. What, tell me about that. And then why didn't you just say, well, all I have to do is hire somebody to straighten it out and I can go with it?
Well, okay. So it was called El Bembo's Apprentice, and it was a membership site that I was going to put my podcast in. So I was tired of giving my podcast away for free because I was giving away so much information. So why don't I put this like in a membership site along with some other stuff people would get every month. It was the most successful launch ever that I've ever done, at least. And then I killed it literally the day. I didn't even like send all the emails the last day because I knew I wanted to kill it off. There's a lot of factors at play. One was at, I don't know, 1,000, whatever we got, 950 members or something. We didn't even have PayPal working. It would have been much more than that. We were getting me and my two partners, Jonathan Rivera, my producer, and Misty, who's she does the voiceover for my podcast, and she's just become a friend and a, you know, someone I trust, and I like to do business with her, and my audience loves her, and she was writing my emails to my podcast list and all that. So she was involved in it too. And people were like chasing us down for technical questions. Even though there's a clear support, you know, it's very obvious you're supposed to go to support for this. They were chasing us down, like 40, 50 people a day chasing us down. Not that they didn't have legitimate complaints or concerns. That's not a problem. But I realized that if it's like this at 900 people, what's it going to be like when I get to 5,000 or 10,000? And that's the thing. Jonathan has a team in place that was taking care of this, but, you know, they just, I don't know. I'm such a lone wolf. I just work better alone, I realized. And I retreated back to the safety of my print newsletter. There's very little technology involved, and it's just me. And but, you know, it was successful, and I'm not against membership sites at all. I think they're great if people want to or know how to deal with it. But I'm a print guy, and that's what I realized. I realized it's not what I want to do. It was miserable for me, so I got out. And, I you know, for some reason, people are – to this day, I don't know how many people have, like, bought from me because of that, because they think that I have, like, all this integrity. I'm thinking I just wanted to get out selfishly. It has nothing to do with integrity. It was like I just didn't want to deal with it. But I think nowadays people see when someone gives up money so easily, it makes you more believable because they realize I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for other things besides the money.
Well, that was what impressed me because I thought if he really, really was deeply committed to making this particular kind of product work, he could outsource some of it and somehow it would all come together. But I guess he must have just been deeply unhappy with it. And the fact that you're, you know, it's funny. Let's segue into the podcast because your first episode now of your new podcast, the BenSettle.com podcast, that one was about power. And it's really great to be in a position of power where you can say, here I've got what on paper is a financial success, and yet I'm in a position to turn around and walk away.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think power is something people, our society, for whatever reason, unless you're in the political class, of course, they love power. But the rest of us peons apparently aren't supposed to have it. And that bothers me. It really pisses me off because I think everybody should be striving to have power over their own lives and not just like be like a leaf blowing in the wind. I don't know. It's something I think about a lot. It, you know, just taking it from like a political point of view, I want to be able to protect myself from the government to the best of my ability. And you can't do that if you don't have power. I want to protect myself from bad people. Can't do that if you don't have power. I want to protect myself from poverty to the extent that I can. Can't do that if you don't have power. And so I think people should embrace finding ways to make, you know, I hate using the word empower because it's so like cliche, but it's true. You know, it's like power is good. No, don't misuse it when you have it. But if you don't misuse it and you don't let it corrupt you, it's a good thing. But I think where people go wrong is they let it corrupt them. They become politicians. Then they have power, but they want to keep everyone else powerless. And, you know, I don't know. That's the kind of stuff that goes through my head when I have insomnia midnight. Well, I can't think of anything.
So. Yeah, no, that's that reminds me about, I'm going to ask you in a minute about how you come up with all these email ideas. But in terms of power, for me, the key thing was in 2010, I stopped earning a salary from anywhere. We moved somewhere else, and I was going to just go out on my own, and I had various ways of earning, but I had never been without the comfort and security of a regular salary. And that worked, but for it to work, I had to do so much public speaking. I was flying around like a lunatic all the time, and we lived very comfortably, but that was really no way to live. Now I'm at a point where I can turn down almost every speaking invite I get. If I just don't want to do it, even if just for arbitrary reasons, I just don't want to do it. I don't have to do it. And I don't have to say, well, this is what I charge. I have five kids. I mean, you are making me leave the five kids. I have to be compensated for that. And I used to be able to say, all right, well, I'll give you a cut rate or this or that. I do pro bono stuff for things I really believe in once in a while. Yeah. But again, I'm leaving my family. I got a big, big family. I can't do that all the time. But the fact that I can just say no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to run myself ragged. That kind of power is why this life, you know, this internet lifestyle is really meaningful to me.
Absolutely. We live in a time and era where this is like, I mean, you know, our ancestors would have killed to be able to do what we do. I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't know if this is going to last. I have no idea, but I'm going to enjoy it while it's there. And, you know, and I'm loving it. And I know you're loving it. And it's because it gives us that freedom that you just can't get. Like, I don't, you know, 30 years ago, this is unheard of unless you just really knew how to build a business. There were people doing direct mail and stuff back then who had similar lifestyles, but this internet's make it just, there's so little risk involved. Back then, there was a lot of risk. Now there's not.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and you can have, if you want to get into e-commerce, you don't have to take out a loan to buy a storefront. You don't have to, or for doing email copywriting and stuff, the costs are much, much lower. And then also, if you have a product that you're interested in, and you can test the concept of it by crowdsourcing. And if you get a response, then great. If not, maybe you tweak it. You don't have to risk your whole life savings. There are so many ways this thing's beneficial. Now, you're emailing me all the time. Now, with me, I actually struggle to come up with email topics sometimes, or email topics that I can make into something that is like a pitch.
Okay.
And yet it amazes me that you, I think my favorite episode of your podcast, the old Ben Settle Show podcast, was when you were just, I think it was a challenge that you had been given, that you were going to be given these random situations and you had to come up with an email out of it. Like, for example, there was like a piece of garbage on the floor. And you had to write an email about it. And I thought, okay, how's he going to write an email about a piece of garbage? And you wrote an email about cleanliness, right? That, you know, in our hairstyling salon, you won't see.
That's exactly what it was.
I mean, is that a gift? Like, I want to know how you're doing that.
I don't know. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Just recently, I was talking to this friend of mine, and she had a really, like, you know, she's had a rough life. Like, she was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and just, you know, just her, she was born with this condition where she doesn't have enough serotonin or dopamine in her body, so she was always suicidal growing up and all that. Well, anyway, so she had some problems. She's got all that taken care of now, you know, so that's fine and all that. But she told me this story about how when she was in her drug use days, she went and had sex with five different guys in one night to pay for drugs, right? Because she was such an addict. And she goes, how would you turn that into an email tastefully? And I said, well, why don't you pick a market? She goes, well, okay, so you have a golf company that you guys are relaunching. Well, how would you do it for that? Not really. How do you turn that? Like, this is a challenge, right? It's like, how do you turn that tastefully into a golf offer, right? So I did. So I said, okay. I told her story. You know, I didn't name her anything. I just told her story from the point of view of the guy the email's coming from, my business partner. I was talking to this girl who, you know, was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and she was so addicted at one point she had sex with five guys in one night just to pay for her drugs. What does this have to do with golf? Well, if you're in golf, like if you're a real golfer, you know that golfing is an addiction too. And I know golfers who have, like, given up feeding their kids so they could play another round of golf, and who have taken money from the family coffer so they could play golf, and have actually put, like, their kids at risk and their family at risk because they keep buying stuff for golf so they can be better at golf. It is literally an addiction. Like it is. Golfing, people don't, there's no Golfaholics Anonymous, and that's what I would call the subject line. And it, but it's an addiction that can cause, it's caused people to get divorced, the golf. I mean, it really, it's, I'm not saying this happens to everybody, but it does happen. And then I segued into what we're selling, which is an online golf club. It's like a country club, but on the internet, where so one of the perks is you get like free stuff sent to you. Just like if you joined a high level golf club, golf companies don't know how to sell themselves. So they just give free stuff away to people, hoping they'll go wear their brand everywhere and play their, with their clubs and all that. And so joining our club for, you know, whatever it is, $100 a month, you're going to get well more than that just in your value and free stuff and demos and things like that. And so that's how I did it. And, you know, it was like, and I did it like right off the fly. It didn't like it to me. It's just, my brain just connects it because I've written so many emails. And I think, Tom, the more you write, and you're already writing a lot of emails, it's just going to get easier for you over time. Your brain will just start connecting things together that you didn't even think about.
There are actually times when I'm not kidding, that I'm sitting there and there's some news item or something odd happens to me. And now suddenly my brain does actually say, that's an email.
Yes, it's great. It's such a great, it's like you have a Geiger counter and it's constantly looking for radiation, you know, and there it is.
And I love doing it. And in fact, this guy I promoted a product for wrote, said, I am just envious of your email writing abilities. And I thought, well, hey, you know, you have to know these things when you're king, you know, so, but I
absolutely.
Mean, yeah, that was
absolutely.
Really great. All right. Tell people what do they learn on, and how often are you going to put out the bensettle.com? What's the full name of the new podcast?
It's just the bensettle.com podcast.
It is called that. Okay. So yes. What, tell me about it.
Well, I mean, so I ended the last one with the membership site back in July, and I always wanted to do another one, but I want this one to be less hard teaching. Like I just kept doing that for some reason. It's more philosophical, more strategical. So again, I talked about power. You know, I didn't talk about how to do anything. I just talked about power. We have the first 20 episodes in the can. They go out every Sunday. So we're pretty much flush through May right now, and which is good to be well ahead. And every Sunday, there's a new episode. It's going to be out there. And it's free. I'm not going to put it behind a paid site or anything like that ever again. And so far, the feedback on the first one was so much better than I thought, because to be honest with you, I don't know if this came through or not on it, but I kept getting distracted during that first one because – producer Jonathan and I get on the phone and I could hear my echo like on the other side. So it was like I was hearing myself talk. It was really distracting. We had to like pause it a couple times. He'd like restart his computer. His audio team just edited it together, so you can't really tell. But I was really glad about that. But it's going to get crazy controversial. I talk about some really – like I don't know, man. I'm just not holding – I didn't hold back before, but I'm even holding back less now. And so, for example, I have an episode coming up where I say equality is just bull crap, the whole concept of equality. That'll probably get me hopefully some hate mail. And, you know, I'm just delving into these weird corners of my psyche, and we'll see what happens.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I know that one of the things that you've taught is that you shouldn't shy away from controversy, because it makes you stand out. It makes people love you or hate you. It makes them want to read what you're writing.
Hot or cold.
And there have been times when I'm writing to this new IM list, I've thought, well, not everybody on this is necessarily a libertarian, so I better not. And then I stopped and thought, no, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not going to be two different people.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be this same person. And the fact that I have the guts to just be that person, knowing that it could cause me problems, you know, I think it helps the overall package, basically.
Oh, I think it does too. And I don't shy away from, I don't talk a lot about politics just because it's just not really that interesting to me. But I have no problem, for example, and this always throws people up. There's the Ben, you shouldn't do that. I have no problem, for example, telling my list or on my podcast or even in my Facebook group that, yeah, I'm pro-life. I don't believe in abortion at all. I don't think there's any excuse for it. I don't, you know, like it's a very extreme, I guess, thing to people, but I don't give a crap. They don't like it, they can leave. I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm not trying. Now, here's the thing, and I believe this with email is a very important thing. I don't believe in trying to persuade someone to my side. I simply give them an option for thinking differently. Here's what I believe. Here's what I think. They can take it or leave it for all I care. I really don't care at that point. But I give them options for thinking differently, and I think the best emails do that. They give people just options for thinking differently than they have. It makes people think. They may not agree with you, but it gets them thinking, and the best customers are thinking people. Those really are the best people, and that's why I shy away from going after the bottom of the barrel, like, you know, affiliate marketing. I help affiliate marketers. Don't get me wrong, but like the kinds who just want to, they need to see money shots and bank statements. And all. I want nothing to do with them. But deep thinking people, they love it, and they will be fans for you forever because you're treating them like a person. You're showing them respect, and you're not trying to like push anything on them. You're simply saying, "Here's what I think." And here's why this is important, and whatever you're talking about in the email. So, yeah, always be you, especially you, because you have like such a deep history, you know, in what you do and everything. It would be you know, ridiculous for you not to tell people about that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and that's you. That's like you, the essence of you. So that's what they want.
And I tell stories from the household. You know, these people, I get to meet them sometimes, and they feel like they already know me. And now my life is not a completely open book, but when there's an email lesson to be had, yeah, it is had.
Absolutely.
And I think, and now that I have five girls and one of them's 13, so she's getting to the point where she's going to want at some point a summer job to earn money, and eventually she'll want a car and stuff. And I've used that as fodder for a lot of emails because it's caused me to think, well, how would I want my – would I want my daughter flipping burgers
yeah,
to earn money? I mean, what a total waste of her time. And that would be – that's just mind-numbingly awful. And that's time she'll never, ever get back. Why don't I have her do something that really gives value to people on a much higher level, that where she can build a portfolio? You know, she can – again, she could learn, you know, web development. She could learn – you know, at that age, she's bright. She would much rather do that. And so that's my sort of implicit way of saying, look, if my 13-year-old kid – can think this way, so can you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that you can do there. I learn a lot from them all the time. They have great insights. So anyway, and I have a few little tricks of my own that I could tell you about, but we'd have to do that off the air. I'm not prepared to reveal everything here out in public. All right, so bensettle.com, without a doubt, is the one-stop shop people should go to for you. Get on your list. Read your emails, and then after reading some emails, subscribe to email players. And you will, from time to time, find a link to subscribe to email players in your emails.
Just time to time. Only yeah. once in a while.
Once in a blue moon, you get up the nerve to make a pitch. All right, so bensettle.com. Everybody should go there because there's a lot of great stuff there too, but sign up for the list. And if you say, Woods, I'm already getting too much email, well, then delete some of those so that you can fit Ben's into your schedule.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like your attitude. That's a perfect attitude to have. I like that.
Exactly. I mean, you should get my emails. You should get Ben's. And, you know, the thing that makes me the happiest is when people write and say, and people I really respect write to me and say, your emails are the only ones I read, the only ones I enjoy reading, the only ones that I find entertaining. And I feel like, all right, that is exactly what I'm trying for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you want to have fun with them, say, well, did you buy the product?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be surprised how many sales you'll get doing that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, the show notes page is tomwoods.com/825. There I'm going to link to bensettle.com. And I guess your podcast is also accessible from bensettle.com. So I don't have to have several different links there.
Yeah, it's all bensettle.com. And yeah, I've consolidated everything into one planet.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ben. I hope I can keep picking your brain from time to time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, everybody, check out bensettle.com, tomwoods.com/825. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking with Murray Sabrin, and we're going to be talking about a Trump presidency, what libertarians can, well, maybe hope for in the best scenario, and what they ought to watch out for. That and a lot more with Murray Sabrin tomorrow on episode 826. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.